Madab Rabbi Lessons from the Lave, Parshas Korach. Today's topic is Don't Be Too Frum. An addition, nonetheless, even without the Bachrim who have already left the yeshiva. Hopefully, those returning to their homes, maybe temporary homes, those returning, those listening, Mirtz Hashem. Thank you for the encouragement of one of our students who said, I hope you're still going to do lessons from the Lev, even though the yeshiva is out. Mirtz Hashem, I hope Billy Nether to continue this through the summer. Dedicate the shiur for Refuah Shleima for Tzvi Ben Pesha, B'soch Shar Choli Yisrael, someone Nicholim out there. We, of course, remember Menachem Mendel Ben Masha Malka. All those should continue to have Refuah Shleima, B'soch Shar Choli Yisrael. A difficult parsha. Parshas Korach, being of course right in the beginning of the parsha, and seemingly, as we'll see in a moment, related to the parsha before, the parsha of Tzitzis, Vaikach Korach. Korach go ahead and starts what is a very tragic incident in Jewish history, and that of course is Machloikis. And as the Pirkei Avos tells us, Machloikis l'shem Shemayim, and there's a Machloikis lo l'shem Shemayim. There's the Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Machlokas, which we learn throughout Gemara, the basis of Gemara, many shittos that we don't follow. And of course, we still get Tzchar for Limud HaTorah to understand how this Machlokas L'Shem Shemayim occurred. However, then there are Machlokas Lo L'Shem Shemayim. And that, of course, is Korach the Eidaso, and how controversial and how difficult Machlokas, of course, can be. I think especially when those that are fighting believe that they are fighting L'Shem Shemayim, for the sake of heaven. It is worse because they are putting a religious stamp on what they're doing. And that, of course, is so difficult. The Chazal tell us, Rashi, of course, points this out, that what was the critique of Korach? Many reasons why Korach did this, of course, him being a relative of Moshe, he wanted the position. But he claimed it's a machlekes l'shem shamayim. He claimed that this was being done out of religious conviction. And he questioned halachos. And of course, the famous two halachos that we all know that Korach questioned was, what happens if somebody's wearing a beged shekulo tcheles? He was wearing, Korach wore a garment that was entirely made of tcheles. Last week's parasha. So if that's so, so he says, does a beged shekulo tcheles require tzitzis or not? Moshe responds, yes, an affirmative, of course. So Korach scoffs him, laughs at him. How is that possible? How can it be? Shekulo techelos would require. That doesn't make sense. So what was the ikar problem here? What did he miss? What did Korach not get? Korach clearly, coming from the family of Moshe Rabbeinu, was no slacker. He was not somebody who lacked intelligence. So how can it be that Korach, in this case, was so off? As we'll see, his second case, of course, discussing a beged, discussing a room that's filled with Sifrei Torah, does it require a mezuzah? Again, seemed like a good question. But of course, as Rashi points out, in fact, it's not. So, one of the Pirushim, the Ber Moshe, the Azrover Rebbe, explains that the mistake of Moshe Rabbeinu was totally in his thinking. The concept of wearing a beged shekulo techelos and think that it's exempt from tzitzis is what? Is just believing that it's about the color. He didn't penetrate the underlying motif of what the mitzvah is. Hashem is not concerned with colors. He wants us to do the mitzvahs of Hashem. Therefore, Moshe realized intuitively that a talis shekula techelis requires tzitzis, because the mitzvah is a mitzvah of dalat kanfos, a mitzvah of tzitzis, for many other reasons. It's a very unique mitzvah, as the Gemara tells us, it has very special kavonos, very special, that we don't understand. We can't explain this mitzvah very well. Korach then questions a house filled with svarim. Does it need a mezuzah? So again, it doesn't make sense, says Korach. The Sifrei Torah have the parsha of the mezuzah in it already. They have Shema Yisrael. Why do I need that? Once again, Korach missed the point. Mezuzah is written on klaf with specific halachos, who the sofer has to be, how it has to be written, under what circumstances, what the kavanas have to be. Outside, we have the name of Hashem and a Kabbalistic, even words that are written outside that equal Kabbalistically Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elkeinu, Hashem Echad, but Shaddai, Shomer Dolosois, Yisrael. Korach didn't understand the mezuzah is to remind us whose this house belongs to. That amazing minhag that many have to kiss the mezuzah to remind ourselves God is the one that protects. The mezuzah is a constant reminder of that. I had the great zchus to go with my son this week to start the process of his tefillin, his being bar mitzvah and mitzvah Hashem in a few months. So we go to a wonderful person in the Old City, not a commercial for him, but Ezra the Sofer, not the original. And Ezra does a whole long presentation where he goes through and explains, and then we actually take the parshos that were written specifically for my son and had the zchus of putting them into the batim. We under explain. And I think the ikar point that he tried to get out in the limud with my son was, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Tefillin, Tachlis, a lot of the halachas of Moshe Mishsinai, why they're black, why they have to exactly be the way that they are and square, and it is all Moshe Mishsinai, and a lot of different halachas that can make the Tefillin puzzle so easily if they're not done. And Baruch Hashem, we were there to see that, and what it has to be sewn with, and how it's unbelievable. And then when he took out the parshios and he showed us a mezuzah, as we're discussing now, the mitzvah, and he took out the mezuzah and he says, you see these words on back? Many people don't know these words. You see these words? I can't go into it to too much detail, but this is to ward off the mazikin. The mazikin speak a different language, and this is it's unbelievable. Halacha Moshe Mishsinai. Moshe Rabbeinu. This is not a machlokes l'shem shamayim. You're not going to trick a Moshe Rabbeinu. Certainly, kiviyachol, not the Rabbono Shalom. But he didn't get it. He was so entwined with, I'm doing this L'Shem Shamayim. It's not L'Shem Shamayim. It's irrelevant what's inside of the house. It's irrelevant how frum the people. What's relevant is that there's a mezuzah outside what the kavanas are. And maybe we could say even further. Because we learn out that Korach is, of course, has a very unique and extreme punishment, as we know. Vayivtacha aretz etz piha v'tivala oto. The earth opened and swallowed it. Pirkei Avos tells us that this is one of the 10 things that were created ben hashmashos on Erev Shabbos. This special opening. But says the Belzer Rebbe even further, he says, but why dafka that? Why did Rabbeinu Shalom create this in such a way? He could have been stoned instead. He could have had one of Mises based in. So he says it has to be that it's Mida Keneged Mida. Says the Belzer Rebbe, it's Mida Keneged Mida because Korach and his followers sinned with their mouths, and the mouth of the earth is what opened up. false accusations about the Ribbono Shel Olam, who the chosen leader should be. And that's why the mouth of the earth opened. But I think it's even more than that. I think going to this kivun of the Belzer Rebbe, it's worse when something that you speak out is so false that everybody just laughs at the person. But when someone comes in the religious garb and claims that they have a way to zushtel the Rebbe of the world, Moshe Rabbeinu, Anuv Mikol Adam, with religious conviction, this is what we're doing, L'shem Shamayim. There's something wrong with that. That's even worse. You're using, forget about the Lashon Hara here. Forget about the false accusations, but more, I think, is to try to say, oh, we're going to catch Moshe off, and then everybody's going to start to join us and say, well, that's actually a good question. If your whole house has Sifrei Torah only, why would he require a mezuzah? And look, he has a beggar that's cool to chelis. Why would he? There's something wrong over here. No, you don't understand the point of the mitzvos. That is the idea. The idea is that we have to be careful, especially, of course, applies to those that return from their Shana Aleph, their Shana Bet, different religious experiences you might have. So we have to be very careful. It could be that same person, just as an example, don't worry, I won't use the plain example this time. The same person who shushes another person in shul, 5 minutes later, turns around to his friend and starts talking to him. So you can't be the shusher in shul then. He says, I'm doing the shame shema, shame shema, shame shema. You're not doing the shame shema. Then. A person has to be very careful, and this is where Aseh L'charav comes in, very importantly, in different situations. Say, well, what are my intentions here? Do I just want to show that I'm firmer? Do I want... Be careful. Especially when somebody's at a younger age and they think that they know more because they learned 1 year in Israel. And I've seen this happen before. They go to a shir and the Rav is up there being Dairish, and they say, he doesn't even know. It's simply goes, Rebbe, what about the Gemara? Yeah, I know that Gemara. Sit down, it's okay. We have to be exceedingly careful. When frum is too frum. Person has to be careful that what they're doing is l'shem shamayim. It's being done with true MS intentions. And that was, I think, the ikar over here of the aver of Korach. The shem shamayim was even worse than just telling lies, than just spreading rumors. That type of lashon hara, that the earth has to open. That something that comes out of the mouth of the earth can't take somebody like that. And I think that is the yesod. One who tells lies, so just because a person thinks they're not telling lies, and I think also this was the yesod, that doesn't mean you're telling the truth just because you're not telling lies. Doesn't mean you're emistic. Doesn't mean you're emis because you think you're telling the truth. That's not an emistic person. I've told over many times the line Rav Aaron Salvage used to say in the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim, Frum is a galach, a Jew is erlach. Frum is a state of mind of religious, a galach, a priest is frum. Religious, just, this person is really religious, different types of religious. But erlach person, Korach was no erlich person then. To look at every situation and say, well, I'm not going to do this. Just to end off with a beautiful story. Speaking, I think it applies. So I'm reading with my son a beautiful book that just came out in the name of Rav Zilberstein on Bar Mitzvah. It's a beautiful book of different stories and different shilas. Tells a story about a boy. And it was his bar mitzvah, and the Ribbono Shel Olam gave him a tremendous gift. He had a beautiful, beautiful voice. And what it seems like in this particular shul, the custom was that the bar mitzvah boy, I think this is a wonderful minhag, doesn't have to read the whole parsha. He only read the Haftorah. So they call him up, and his father's very excited because he knows his beautiful voice, and it sounds like his son is totally hoarse, totally off. Not the greatest Haftorah Leni you've ever heard in your life. Okay? Nope. So at the Kiddush, he sees that he's talking to his friends, and all of a sudden this hoarse voice seemed to have gone away. So he took his son on the side, and he said, "My dear son, what's going on here? What happened? I know your voice. You're suddenly all of a sudden hoarse." He says, "Tati, remember last week we had the bar mitzvah in the shul? My friend Yosef, he got maftir. The Rebbeinu Shalom didn't give him a gift of a nice voice. And it was hard, and people, you know, when he was leaning, when he was saying the haftorah, people were snickering. I heard people were saying, oh, better not for him to be bar mitzvah. Maybe we should wait a year. So I'm going to come the week after, and I'm going to have the beautiful... it's not worth it," he said. "And you know what? Next week, my other friend, Elio, he has a bar mitzvah. He also has an okay voice. So let us all three be compared and say, okay, these are the bar mitzvah boys today." What fortitude, unbelievable. The father told the story of his son and his Sheva Brachas. He said, "I've never told the story over to anyone, but I want to tell the Kala how lucky. This is my son. At 13 years old, he had the fortitude to realize this." That's amazing. Consult your local, as I told my son this evening, consult your local Orthodox father. I don't know if that's a good idea. But that's Erlach. That's amazing. That's someone, in my opinion, who's not too firm. They're all caused many of different types of stories like this. Again, the Iker is, Mesilas Yesharim speaks about this. It's really religious ignorance. When a person is firm on another person's account, or a person thinks that their derech has to be the only one, let's l'shem shamayim, and that's the proper one, and therefore anybody else that does anything else, they're just not on the right derech. Sometimes students get upset, they go to the Kotel or maybe another place, Shtibulach, and it's the Meirav time, one of those, you know, 11:30 Meirav's, and the person's Hashias Hamecha Reches Nachla, it doesn't count the person. No. You don't look like you're firm enough for my minion. How can that be? No. It's L'shem Shemayim, because that person shouldn't be counted for a minion because of what he looks like. It's not the way. It's not the way. I said it was the last story, but just happened to Mamash a few minutes ago. We went to my room, the boy down for the omelet. In Eretz Yisrael, this is not as common. Maybe in America, it's probably much more common. He was wearing a baseball hat. It happened to be a Yankees hat, so I didn't say anything, because, you know, Yankees. And after shul, somebody came up to him and said, you know, maybe there should be a Noel, maybe there should be a new rule. You can't down for the omelet wearing a baseball hat. He didn't say a hat, of course. A baseball hat. So I said, you know, I hear what you're saying. And I remember Mayor Goldberg was very against baseball hats. I said, on the other hand, the kid wants to down for the omelet. Imagine somebody coming up to him and said, no baseball hats here. And he says, no baseball hats here? Good. I'm also not davening ever again, Meyer. Got to be very careful. Why did you say that to him? Because it bothered you. You're so from. I don't know if that's the appropriate thing. We should not follow the ways of Korach. We should be very careful when we say things, when we act in a certain way, are we doing it for the right intentions? For if not, it's a very serious violation. Frum is a state of mind that has to come with being erlach, doing it for the right reasons. Realize that the whole reason of tzitzis is to get closer to Hashem. We don't understand the tremendous reasons the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us, but we wear tzitzis on our begadim. It's with us all day and all night. It's with us, at least according to Moshe, just until we go to sleep. But with us in everything that we do. And the mezuzah is guarding us. What kind of shiloh does it? Put it up anyway. Of course you put it up. We want Hashem to guard us. This house belongs to the Rebbeinu Shalom. With that, we should be zeicha to follow the ways of the Rebbeinu Shalom always, and realize the mitzvahs are just a way for us to get closer and closer to the Rebbeinu Shalom, to reach that grand level when we can give nachas ruach to the Rebbeinu Shalom in every way and everything that we do.